It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is the Angels Recap Podcast, a review of the past week in Angels baseball.
2-0 on Trout. This one is crushed. Left center field, way out of here.
Now here's your host, Trent Rush.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Angels Recap Podcast. I know it's been a minute since we've had a chance to put one of these podcasts together, but excited to be with you here as the Angels are trying to get past that June gloom that took place earlier this season. I think the last time we got together here on this podcast, the Angels were 10 games over 500. Understandably, it's a very different story now. I know you guys were paying attention. There was all kinds of excitement on Sunday at the Big A with the little tussle that happened in the second inning of that game. But I know that with all these things happening with the Angels, and there's been a lot of storylines and a lot has gone on, yes. But I wanted to point out there is one player on this Angels ball club that really is shining in an era of baseball where it's about the three true outcomes and walks, strikeouts, home runs. Somebody that is just a refreshing, blue-collar, exciting player that is getting a real opportunity here at the big league level, and that is David McKinnon. So David and I had a conversation talking about everything from his background, talking about his approach to the plate, his approach with two strikes, what he's looking to do. I think you're going to really enjoy the conversation with David McKinnon. I know I did. So I don't want to take up any more of your time. So now here is our chat with new Angels infielder David McKinnon. All right, we're hanging out with David McKinnon. One of the really fun bright spots we've seen in this Angels ball club here in the month of June has come up and is really tearing the cover off the ball. And I think a lot of fans have noticed immediately, David, just your approach to the plate, what you try to bring on a baseball field, and it's fun seeing that. We'll talk about that coming up in a bit. I would like to get to know David McKinnon a little bit. We know that, look, the story, 32nd round draft pick, come from Massachusetts, went to Hartford. But what was, growing up, how big was baseball in your life?
Yeah, so growing up, baseball was big. I mean, my dad, I kind of got introduced to the sport when my dad would be playing church league softball and stuff. So we were at the games. I was young, 2-3 years old. And he'd be out there playing. Then when they came to hit, I'd be, like, asking him to hit, like, a wiffle ball or something. So I grew up with it, and I grew up loving baseball. And I mean, I remember from age like 4 or 5, like that was the dream. Like my dream, I wanted to play professional baseball, Major League Baseball. And I had always just loved the sport. I always wanted to go out and practice. So we were always in like our little side yard. We had a nice big side yard, and we were to T-balls were being thrown, and yeah. I'd be hitting balls, and I hit the balls farther than other kids my age. So like I knew there was something there. My parents knew there was something there, but they never told me that there was something there, you know, because, yeah. And I think that's where a lot of my work ethic came from growing up, where like they weren't ever the parents that were like, oh yeah, you're the best. They were the parents that like, hey, like, yeah, you're pretty good. But like, there's other kids out there that work just as hard as you. There's other kids that are doing the same stuff you are. And that kid's pretty good too. Like, don't you want to work harder than him? So that's kind of where it all started with my, just work, like the work ethic and the love for baseball. And then growing up in Little League, we would have 3-4 games a week. So the other 3 or 4 days that we didn't have games, I'd be down at the field kind of on my own, like begging my dad, let's go hit after the games end tonight. So after the games would end, like 7:30, we'd take batting practice and do ground balls from like age 8 to 12. So we were at the field almost every day when I was growing up for the baseball season, yeah. Not for...
I was going to say, so was it just baseball for you?
It was baseball, basketball, and soccer. So yeah. Baseball was always the biggest one, where it would be like April to August, but then we'd do soccer from September to, I don't know, December. We'd do a little indoor league, and then I'd be doing basketball from November till baseball started.
I don't know that I'm into soccer in December in Massachusetts. No, I feel like I didn't freeze.
It was the inside. It was the inside stuff. Like, you know, like the the bubble where you'd be inside, like kind of the hockey boards and stuff, like the fun soccer inside. So that's the type of stuff we'd be doing for soccer. But, I mean, I really like soccer for 3 months. I liked basketball for 3 months. But, like, baseball was kind of the thing where, like, I could play that. I mean, I think when I was younger, it was probably more like a six-month thing, and I would get tired of it. And then as I got older, it became more of a, like, high school and college. It was like a – like, it becomes a year-round thing. And that's what I love to do. That's what I love to train for. I love to, like, study the swing and kind of make adjustments. And I was always good at making adjustments. And
so did you grow up, like – going to Fenway? Did you have a favorite player growing up?
Yeah, growing up, I grew up going to Fenway. I think my favorite player originally, like to start, when I first started, was Nomar. And then as I got watching more, I was young when he was there. But as I got watching more and more, my favorite player was definitely Manny Ramirez. I just loved his swing and how smooth it was and effortless. And I didn't really know anything about the swing back then. I was like 8 or 10, you know. But, like, I just love watching him hit. Obviously, I loved David Ortiz. And that 2004 team was, like, the coolest team ever. I was 10 when that happened. And so I've been kind of blessed with the with Boston sports growing up.
Good days.
Yeah, I mean, they had a bunch of World Series. The Bruins won. The Celtics won. The Patriots won a lot, you know. So, like, I grew up with just – championships on championships where my dad's like, you're lucky because we were just not good back in the day, you know? So
that's awesome. It's funny. I mean, you mentioned Manny. I can't help but think, like, two-strike approach. I mean, there's some similarities there. Can you walk us through, like, the mindset, especially, like, you've had so many hits. I think, you know, 5 of the first 6 times you've been on base here, the big league level, have been in two-strike counts. Like, what's the mentality like when you get into some of those deeper counts and just try to find ways to help your team?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is if you can cut down your punch outs, like the batting average on balls in play on average is like 300, you know? So if you can just put the ball in play 3 out of 10 times with two strikes, you're going to usually get a hit 3 out of 10 of those times, you know? Yeah. Just swallowing your pride, like trying to not kill the ball, just hit it forward somewhere. My job is not to kill the ball on this team, you know? My job is to get on base. There's a guy on second or third to try to knock him in. You can't knock guys in or get on base if you're punching out, you know. So for me, it's always been like, I hate striking out. Like, hate it. Like, he knows he beat me when I strike out. But if I get out or I put a good swing on a ball, like, he's like, damn, like, that was a pretty good bat he just put together. I don't want to go up there ever and be like, oh, that's an easy out, you know. I want to go up there and, yeah, we got superstars in our lineup, but I want to go up there and be like, and have that pitcher be like, this guy's annoying, you know. Yeah. This guy's hard to get out. It's hard to have him chase stuff. It's just tough, you know. So I that's what I want to be. I want to be that kind of annoying at-bat for the pitchers because they got to be super fine with Walsh, Ohtani, Trout, Ward, some of the big boppers, you know. Yeah. And then I think the rest of us just need to just continue to do what we're doing, just grinding out at-bats and making it more difficult for other pitchers to get us out.
It's interesting hearing you say that. It's really fascinating. You're talking with David McKinnon right now of the Angels, just about, you know, kind of the mentality at the plate, because, like, we're in this era of baseball where, you know, strikeouts have, you know, in some ways been devalued. I think they're coming back a little bit where people are kind of starting to think a little bit how you think, but home runs are so big in this game. But where does some of that come from for you, for just, you know, how you learned how to play baseball?
I think it's just nothing's ever been handed to me. I've always had to prove people wrong and work hard. And I've always had a good idea of the zone and some plate discipline. So I was like, well, if I can use that to my advantage wherever I'm at and then tap into a little bit of extra power, that's huge, you know. So I don't think – I mean, you don't hit home runs like they throw you home runs. So if you're trying to hit a homer, it's not like it's going to happen if they execute a pitch. So might as well just, if you get the pitch over the middle, maybe it gets out, you know. But you're not going to, like, you trying to hit the ball hard or you trying to create extra isn't going to lead to homers. They just throw them. and you put a good swing on it, it ends up being a homer, you know.
Let's talk defense for a second, because you've played first base your entire professional career. You get to the big leagues. The Angels all of a sudden, hey, this guy can hit up here. And there's a lot to like about that bat. But the Halos also have a pretty good first baseman in Jared Walsh going right now. So, all right, how do we find ways to get the bat in the lineup? Well, let's go see if David MacKinnon can play some third base. What has that adjustment been like for you, learning essentially a new position and doing so at the highest level of the game?
Yeah, that's been honestly pretty wild. I'm not complaining at all about it. I love it. I love kind of being thrown into the fire and just having to learn on the job, you know. So yeah. I think if you overdo it early on, or like you're – like I didn't have any real time to try to go down like in the minors to really learn how to do that. And then all of a sudden if you're being taught certain things and then I can't rely on my instincts anymore. And when you take my instincts away from me, I think – and you take your instincts away from a lot of people – and they start thinking too much about how to field the ball or how to do the footwork, all of a sudden it becomes not instinctual and not natural. So I feel like I'm just over there trying to get the – like block the ball or catch the ball and then somehow get it to first base, you know. So that's all I'm trying to do right now. I'm not trying to make it look pretty. I'm trying to get the ball from point A to point B and get guys out so I can go hit, you know. While she's a great defender over there, he crushes the ball too. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be in the lineup as much as possible to help our team win, whether that's at third or first, or if they need to give someone else a break somewhere else. Like, I'm not going to complain. Just trying to get as many at-bats to continue to get more and more comfortable up there and to help the squad win.
So considering your journey, getting to the big leagues, I mean, just in a big deal, I think people just looking at the story of being a 32nd round pick, not given really any opportunities, and you just got to fight, scratch your claw to get here. I think people have heard stories like that before, but this is an interesting one because I'd love to know your thoughts just on what the last, you know, week or two have been like here at the big league level. You come up to Seattle and you're thrust right into it. Fans hadn't really seen you in spring training, and now here you are at the major leagues. What has this experience been like?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of an experience, but it's been a dream come true, you know, at the same time. Obviously, the debut, you know, it just all happened so fast. You know, I got told, Nev told me 2 hours before the game, hey, you're starting, and then my heart started pounding. I didn't know what to think. I didn't really know how to calm down. Because you dream about that your whole life. Sure. So that's that. I can't describe the feeling. I would just say it's the most exciting, anxiety-ridden feeling ever. That, like, you work so hard your whole life for this, and then it's there, and it's hard to stay in the moment, you know, because you're just dreamed about your whole life. And that first at-bat, I mean, that dude was kind of nasty, too. Throws, like, sidearm underneath. So I was like, dang, this is not the greatest matchup right now. And then I struck out, and I was like, oh, man, they think I stink. So it was tough. Yeah, it was, like, the first at-bat was tough. But I'm like, as soon as I settled in and kind of I started to work some at-bats, yeah. And I was like, that's not me. That first night wasn't me, like, my normal at-bats. That was, like, me trying to adjust and be okay with being a big leaguer, you know, the mental adjustment.
I mean, Nev had you batting cleanup before you'd gotten your first hit. I mean, what kind of a statement is that? Do you feel like to have the confidence of the organization and what you can do?
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. That's how I took it too. When Nev had me cleanup, it's like they like my bat. Like it's not. I can relax a little bit. Like I don't. They believe that I can hit at this level. It's not like I got to go out there and like do anything I didn't do in AAA or in the last year or two. You know, I just got to go out there and be me because that's enough for this team.
Talking with David MacKinnon right now, keeping you for a long time. I'm sorry. This is good stuff. I really appreciate you spending this time with us. When did things start to click for you? Because it seemed like maybe a couple of years ago, all of a sudden your numbers started skyrocketing. Was there a moment, was there something you did, something that changed where all of a sudden you were really able to start dominating at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, I'd always put together good at-bats my whole career, but it was like the mistakes resulted in singles or doubles. It wasn't as many doubles and homers, you know. So the biggest thing I remember was when it was high A, 2019, Thought I was going to go to Double A after a good season the prior year. Ended up breaking with High A. And it was just like I don't know why that happened, you know. And you're just mentally thinking about that. Like, I thought I was going to go here, but it didn't. And, like, that takes a mental toll on you. I'd be lying if you said it didn't. Got there. I hit some balls hard, but at people. My swing felt weird. I wasn't hitting great. It was only 2 weeks. And I remember praying. I was like, God, like, this got to end. This is bad. Like, I can't keep on slumping right now. It was, like, every day, like, two hard hit balls, I'm out, and then you're trying to grind for hits. And I remember I was on the way to the field praying about that, and I get to the – and I, that night I blow my knee out. I'm like, I didn't mean, like, you could literally take it away, but it got taken away for the next year, 2 years, you know. So I blew my knee out, didn't play that whole rest of the season. And COVID happened, didn't play that season. And I just remember, I was like, you know what? Like, this happens for a reason. Thought God had his hand on it, and I just grinded it out. And, like, I did a ton of work to try to figure out what I wasn't doing that I needed to do in my swing. And I studied, as I've told a couple people, I studied Trout's swing, and I studied Vlad Guerrero's swing. And I took the two biggest things from them, which are they use the ground really well to put power into their swing, and they consistently land in a good position almost every single time they land. So very rare. So I was like, if I can land in that position that they land in a little more consistently, I think I'll have more power. And then all of a sudden I started working on that and using the ground a little better, and all of a sudden I wasn't rotating off pitches. I was able to stay up the middle of the field, and all of a sudden I had something behind the ball. It wasn't like just lazy fly balls. The balls were beating outfielders, and sometimes they were getting out. And then this year, I think the pitch recognition all came together where I started to just do damage more and more on pitches that were over the middle of the plate. And that's kind of the only difference. I feel like the last 2 years I've just gotten better at, like, seeing what pitches I hit well and what pitches I don't hit well. And now that I have a little bit more power, I'm able to just be a little more selective with the plate discipline.
Sounds like you're a big faith guy, too.
Yes.
Is that something that has just kind of always been with you, something that has helped you through some of the tough days?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up, like, in the church at home. My mom was a children's minister, so I grew up kind of at church all the time when we were younger. We'd be like, me and my brother would change the – we'd be take all the chairs out of the wherever they do the talks and stuff, but we'd take it all out of and we'd play baseball in there, you know. So, like, we'd kill time by doing that or running around. And so I was always growing. I grew up there, and that's a big part of my life for sure. And me and my wife still go to church whenever we get the chance. Obviously, with baseball, it's a little hard during the season, but so that's been a big part, and I think that really puts in perspective baseball. Like, baseball is what we do. It's not who we are, you know. There's other stuff that is more important, like being a good person, being a good teammate, loving people around you, like that type of stuff, not just did I get a hit or did I not get a hit.
David, hey, man, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Congratulations on what you've accomplished already. And I got to tell you, man, I'm excited for what's next for you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm hoping our team continues on a little hot streak and, you know, we make that playoff push happen.
There you go. Love the conversation with David McKinnon right there. While we have a moment, let's pause to get a word from our sponsors.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My name is Trent Rush. This is the Angels Recap Podcast, and I appreciate all of you for joining us here. You know, a couple of things that we've been doing on our show, our live broadcast, Angels Recap, is we've had three already, and there's three more to go, of doing our show from Brewery X off La Palma in Anaheim. It's so much fun. Such a great time there. From Trevor to Rod to Clayton, Aurora. There's so many people. Kyle. There's so many people that are such a big part of what what makes this all come together at Brewery X, and really want to thank them for the hospitality. Thanks to all the fans that have been coming out to these. If you haven't been yet, I got to tell you, it's the best party on radio. We have a great time. Yes, we talk Angels baseball, and then we have some beers and hang out after the show as well, and it's really, really cool. So if you get a chance, come on by Brewery X. Our next one is coming up on Thursday, July the 14th, after a 5 o'clock game against the Houston Astros, and then we'll have two Sundays coming up there, July the 31st against the Texas Rangers, and then we're back for August the 14th after a game against the Minnesota Twins. So those games against the Rangers and Twins are on Sundays. Our next one is going to be on a Thursday night after the Angels take on the Houston Astros. Again, that is July the 14th. On our next edition of the Angels Recap Podcast, while we had all of the 2002 World Series championship team, or at least most of that team, here at the Big A, we had a chance to have a lot of great conversations. You do not want to miss our next podcast. Back by popular demand, we're going to be sharing some of those interviews with you coming up in a bit. We had them on radio, and a couple of online-only exclusive interviews are going to be coming as well. But really enjoyed seeing those guys and how cool it was, and it was just really neat to reflect on what 2002 meant to this organization and a brand of baseball that, I'll just tell you personally, that's the brand of baseball I grew up watching. That's the brand of baseball that is how I've always thought the game is to be played, watching those guys. And I'm just so thankful that that was the era of player that I got to watch. That was who I got to see when I fell in love with this great game. And now I'm a little envious of this era kid that gets to watch Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing because I love Tim Salmon and Garrett Anderson and Darren Erstad and all those guys. Scott Spezio is fantastic. Eckstein and Kennedy up the middle. Benji Molina behind the plate, Troy Gloss, World Series MVP. So many cool pitchers on that team as well. You know, John Lackey in his rookie year, notably starting Game 7, and then that bullpen anchored by Troy Percival, but Frankie Rodriguez, such a big part of it. Shields was a big part of it. So many guys. So really fun getting a chance to see them. That's on our next edition of the Angels Recap Podcast. We'll get that out to you here in the next couple of days. For now, my name is Trent Rush. Thanks to Hannah Stang, Alex Tigno, and everybody here at AM 830 for helping put this show together. Thanks for joining us. My name is Trent Rush. This has been the Angels Recap Podcast.